From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. Once again, it's time to let the Bible speak. And here to introduce today's program is the Reverend Leslie Curran.
And I'm glad to welcome you all once more in the Saviour's name to our Let the Bible Speak program. It's good you're tuning in and joining with us, and I hope you'll be able to stay tuned for the next half hour. Our moment of meditation will bring us to Genesis chapter 47 and verse 9, the days of the years of my pilgrimage, and the theme of our meditation will be the summary of life. Then later in the program, the Reverend John Greer will be letting the Bible speak from Hebrews chapter 10, and words found in verse 2, once purged, no more conscience of sins. But we're going to commence the program with the great hymn, Jesus, What a Friend of Sinners. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. And now for our moment of meditation, which brings us to Genesis chapter 47 and verse 9, the days of the years of my pilgrimage. And our theme is the summary of life. How often we wonder at what private conversations take place between great leaders whenever they meet. We assume they must be of weighty matters and of great importance. But great men are but men. When Pharaoh met Jacob, he asked a rather simple question, How old art thou? A commonplace conversation indeed, you might say. Jacob made good use of the question that was asked. He underlined the brevity of life. he said, the days of his years. The wise man counts his life in days, for he dare not presume to count his tomorrows and heap them up into years. He also emphasized the character of life. He said, the days of the years of my pilgrimage. Jacob was on a journey. His stopover at Pharaoh's palace was but another resting place on his journey to his heavenly father's house. Pharaoh, with all his power and glory, mustn't think that he would abide there forever. He too would be forced to journey on, but to where? He also described the nature of his days as few and evil. In Job chapter 14 and verse 1 we read, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. This wasn't a complaint, it was just a factual definition of life. Man the sinner has turned paradise into a veil of tears, and only through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the only Redeemer of sinners, is there escape from sin into the kingdom of light and glory. Jacob, at the commencement and the conclusion of his interview, blessed Pharaoh. Truly, the lesser is blessed of the greater. Jacob, the believer in Christ, could bless the mighty Pharaoh. He who converses with a prince with God about the issues of life is blessed indeed. An old preacher once said, life is a path trodden by all men, and but once. Make certain that you know Christ today as your Savior and Redeemer.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to the blessed promised land.
But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by.
Oft our cherished plans have failed, disappointments have prevailed, and we've wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone.
But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word,
we will understand it better by and by. By and by,
oh, when the morning comes, and when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares, often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we've tried to do our best.
But we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by and by.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, and each week we are on air to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been helped or challenged as God's word has gone forth, do take a moment to write and let us know. Perhaps you've come to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then we'd love to hear from you. We'll be glad to send you some gospel literature free of charge and entirely without obligation. So why not make a point this week of writing us at our mailing address? You may write to Pastor Moses Borbor, that's B-O-R-B-O-R, Pastor Moses Borbor, Boakai Estate, and you spell that B-O-A-K-A-I, Boakai Estate, Endama Road, N-D-A-M-A, Endama Road, Foya. That's Pastor Moses Borbor, Boakai Estate, Endama Road, Foya. And you'll get the address once again at the end of the program today. We look forward this week to receiving a letter from you.
Once I was drifting, lost and in sin. Once I was dying, darkness within. Now I am living the way He planned, harbored in Jesus.
Jesus. And now here's the Reverend John Greer to Let the Bible Speak.
Today I want to bring your attention to some tremendous words that are found in Hebrews 10 and verse 2. They are the words, "Once purged, no more conscience of sins." The central purpose of the book of Hebrews is that of revealing and presenting the perfection, both of the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one, of course, flows from and stands upon the other. Since Christ is perfect in who He is, then what He has done on behalf of His people must also be perfect. Indeed, it cannot be otherwise. And therefore, throughout this great epistle, Paul continually holds up before believers an impeccable Saviour who has wrought for His people a work that is complete and sufficient. Therefore, one of the issues that Paul has to clarify for these Hebrew believers to whom he wrote has to do with a ceremonial system of worship to which Israel had adhered for generations. To be specific, it was the apostle's burden to show his Jewish readers that the animal sacrifices of the ceremonial system had no atoning value or saving power. And while the entire epistle essentially shows the impossibility of the Levitical offerings bringing salvation to anyone, it is really here in the first four verses of Hebrews 10 that we have the most direct statements to that effect. In these opening verses of Hebrews 10, there is a series of statements and conclusions presented by Paul to prove his point, a point summarized really in the words of verse 4. Where it says, "It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. This is the language of the Holy Spirit. It is his infallible verdict with regard to the Levitical offerings. It was utterly impossible for animal sacrifices to bring about the successful removal of the sins of men. What is even more striking about Paul's instruction in these verses is that what he says is with reference to the most sacred day in the Jewish religious calendar, the great day of atonement. Notice in verse 1 the words, those sacrifices which they offered year by year. And then in verse 3, Paul uses the words, every year. It is clear, therefore, that the apostle is referring to an annual offering of sacrifice, not a daily one. And there was only one such offering, namely, the sacrifice offered on the 10th day of the 7th month, that is, the Day of Atonement. His point, therefore, is clear. If the sacrifice presented at the most sacred feast of the Jews did not bring about actual removal of sin, then the lesser sacrifices most certainly did not. In the midst of the reasoning that Paul sets before his readers in these verses are the words in which I want to address you here in verse 2. Once purged, no more conscience of sins. In their setting, these words belong to a particular conclusion that Paul makes with regard to the insufficiency of the Levitical offerings. He shows their insufficiency by pointing out that if they had been sufficient to take away sin, then the offering of them would have ceased. He says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered. His point is that a sufficient sacrifice does not have to be repeated endlessly. Indeed, if it's a sufficient sacrifice to remove sin, it only has to be offered once. And that means that the constant yearly offering of the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement meant that there was complete insufficiency in the most important of all sacrifices, that is, that offered on the Day of Atonement. And that's a point that he then makes in these remarkable words, because the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. Now, while the elaborate ritual on the Day of Atonement did not bring about what our text reveals, that is, no more conscience of sins, we thank God today that the atoning death of Christ has secured that tremendous benefit. No more conscience of sins. What Paul's setting out here to show is that what the animal sacrifices could not do, Christ's sacrifice did accomplish. These words mean that for the one who is resting in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, there is no condemnation. Surely this is the greatest and most precious blessing that any man could ever possess, to be in the position where all the condemnation of sin is gone forever, all because of the atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the gospel is all about. This is what it sets before sinners, that through Christ's atonement, there is no more conscience of sins. Notice first here that Christ's atonement satisfies divine justice. Now think of these words, no more conscience of sins. It doesn't say no more consciousness of sins, because every true believer is conscious of sin and failure in the life, and of course on an ongoing basis. But these words mean that in the conscience there is the awareness that the justice of God is satisfied, and that there is therefore acceptance with God as a result. And furthermore, this awareness of acceptance with God is based on the truth that the Lord's atonement satisfied the justice of God, and did so because of the inherent value of that sacrifice. We must keep in mind that God does not pass by sin. Scripture in so many ways and in so many places reveals that fact. We find that the Lord requires the satisfaction of his holiness and his justice in relation to sin. Now, as soon as man fell, he was driven from the garden. and the way to the tree of life was closed against them by the cherubim and the flaming sword, as we read in Genesis 3 and verse 24. That prohibition set the pattern for the rest of divine revelation. That is, justice must be satisfied, otherwise there's no way back into divine favor. It is not that the Lord was revealing that there was no way back at all, but rather he was revealing that the only way back was through holy justice being satisfied. But this is what the gospel reveals. Justice has been satisfied through Christ's atoning sacrifice, so that for all who will trust Christ, this blessed position may be enjoyed. No more conscience of sins. And the point is that such is the value of the Lord's atoning sacrifice and death, that justice is truly satisfied. And the value of the Lord's sacrifice is set before us in this great passage where our text lies, in the verses that surround it and that flow from it. You notice here that Christ's sacrifice had a particular value. In verse 4, we read it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And then you'll notice in verse 5 these words, wherefore, when he that is Christ cometh into the world, he saith, a body hast thou prepared me. Now there's a clear connection here between verses 4 and 5. The thought is clear. The blood of an animal sacrifice does not remove sin. It does not have the particular value necessary to remove sin. But the inference is that the Lord's sacrificial blood does have that particular value required to meet the demands of divine justice and remove sin. Notice how verse 5 commences, wherefore, indicating that Paul is now introducing the reason why the Lord's sacrifice has the particular value necessary to make atonement and to satisfy divine justice. And that reason is the great truth that the Son of God had created for him a true humanity, a humanity that was spotlessly pure, so that when it was offered up, it constituted a sacrifice that was sufficient, completely and utterly sufficient, to atone for sin and to meet all divine requirements. Notice the words, a body hast thou prepared me. Now the reference is actually to the full humanity of Christ, not merely to the body alone, but to the full humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, a humanity that was offered up on behalf of men. Down in verse 10, we read these words, by the which will we are sanctified or saved, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The Lord's full humanity was offered up to God on behalf of men. You see, for men to be saved, one of their own nature must save them. A man must save them. And therefore, from the very time of the fall of man, it was revealed that there would be a man who would come and who would save sinners. And what a man he is. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, the God-man, he who possesses a human nature and a divine nature in his one blessed person. And in his person, he went to the cross. As the God-man, he offered up himself. He died for sinners. He shed his blood to make atonement for their sin. Therefore, what a value his atoning sacrifice possessed. I want you to think about that. You can only be saved. You can only come to the position where you have no more conscience of sins, in the sense of your sin being removed and put away, when there is found a person who is both God and man, and who has offered up a sacrifice that is sufficient to atone for your soul. And my friend, that person is Jesus Christ. He is the one whose sacrifice has this particular value that is so essential in order to satisfy God. It is a sacrifice that is spotlessly pure because of the fact that it was made by one who gave himself as the God-man unto the Father to save his people from their sins. Today I therefore urge you to go and rest in Jesus Christ as your Savior and trust Him. Trust His finished work. Trust His shed blood. Trust that sacrifice with that particular special value. And if you do, God will save you and you will be delivered from your guilt and your sin.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel to you in all of its scriptural fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, do write and tell us. Our mailing address is Pastor Moses Borbor, B-O-R-B-O-R, Boakai, B-O-A-K-A-I, Boakai Estate, Endama Road, N-D-A-M-A, Endama Road, Foya. That's Pastor Moses Borbor, Boakai Estate, Endama Road, Foya. We're always delighted to add a more personal note to our ministry by means of correspondence, so do be certain to write to us at our mailing address. This is Leslie Curran saying thank you for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you. Do remember to join us again, God willing, on this same station at the same time next week when once again we Let the Bible Speak.